Welcome to Faith Talk. I am your host, Lolita Jones. It is a great pleasure. I'm smiling. I know y'all can hear my smile because you can't see me, but I know you can hear it because I'm so happy and excited to be in the land of the living. Today is Monday, the 15th of January, and yes, we are celebrating the birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We praise God for his life. We praise God for him being a living testimony that God was going to bring us out. I thank God for you, and you that are joining us right here on our prayer conference line on this evening. We are still on consecration. We have just entered into our second week. And have you raised your expectation? Have you raised it? Because I know I have, and I'm seeing miracles, signs, and wonders in my life, in the lives of my children. I'm seeing it in the ministry because God's word stands forever. I have great news for you, each and every one of you. My great friend, Pastor Charles L. Ramey. He's from New Jersey by way of Chicagoland area. Yeah. He's from Chicago. We know some of the same people back home. I thank and praise God for his ministry. And at this time, come on and tune in because I know he has a word from the Lord just for you. God bless you.
Well, bless your heart. We give God the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. We thank God for this mighty woman of God that God brought into my wife and my life. She's almost like a sister in itself, a sister away from home. She understands and knows that Chicago was our summer home. Half of my family live in Chicago and half from Newark, New Jersey. So we thank God for her and this mighty ministry that God is using her to get the gospel out to the people of God. And we pray that God continue to elevate her life. Let me, before I get started, of course, give reference and deference to my great leader, and that is the leader of the fourth jurisdiction of the Churches of God in Christ, and that's Bishop G. Wesley Hardy, who is the prelate. Of course, our state supervisor, Mother Sherry Johnson, and I want to thank God for a quick second for my church. I know folks have jumped on Empowerment Temple, the Blue Ridge District, of which I am a superintendent over our district missionary, Evangelist Pennell. And let me say this, I could never begin nothing, do nothing, whoever I am, is because of this great woman right here who has poured into my life since high school for 45 years. And that is no other than the love of my life. That's Evangelist Ghana M. Ramey. People of God, I want you to turn or pay attention to me. If you have your Bibles real quickly, I'm going to get right into the Word. I'm not one to spend too much time lollygagging when it comes to the pulpit. I just don't believe the pulpit is a place to be spending so much time with foolishness. So Micah, 6th chapter, 8th verse, I'm going to be reading from the King James Version. And the words of Micah reads like this. He has showed thee, O man, what is good? What doeth the Lord require of thee? But to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly before thy God. This was one of Dr. Martin Luther King's mantra. His mantra was to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. So today it was placed upon my heart to all of our hearts to take a moment just to recognize the contribution of this great man. If I had to put a tag on this message tonight, if I had to put a tag on this a little word of inspiration to anybody tonight, of course, we want the Holy Ghost to have his way in this message tonight. Thank you, Jesus' name. If I had to put a tag on it, my tag would be somebody told a lie. If you could just repeat that to me and to yourself, I know I can't hear you, but I can feel you in your spirit. Tonight, my tag is somebody told a lie. It was in April of the 3rd, 1968, when Martin Luther King himself gave his most prominent speech. It's called I've Been to the Mountaintop. One day, he says in his message, one day before Dr. King was assassinated, he said these words: somebody told a lie one day. They were couched in a language. They made everything black look evil. And you look into your dictionaries, you'll see synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading, low, and sinister. Then, my brothers and sisters, when you look at the word white, it is always something pure, high, and clean. The black connotations, the connotations that they give the word black is evil, dark, sinful, nefarious. And when the word is used in opposition to white, it symbolizes the eternal struggle. Somebody, my brothers and sisters, have been telling a lie. And the inconvenient truth is, if you think about the inconvenient truth is that racism is the integral part of American society. To see what racism really looks like, you got to go back not to 1776, but you have to go back, my brothers and sisters, to 1518, when King Charles I authorized Spain's ships to take Africans over to America. To see what racism really looks like, you have to see the brutality, the notorious and overcrowded and insanity conditions of those slave ships, packed like sardines for a trip of over 5,000 miles. To see what racism really looks like, you have to see your African brothers and sisters chained together in low ceilings, not permitted to sit up. Heat that was so intolerable, oxygen levels were so low that candles could not even burn. And when the crews from time to time feared, watch this, they feared insurrection. That's interesting. They feared insurrection. Our African brothers and sisters were allowed only a few hours of daylight on the upper decks of these slave ships. Now, the theology of prolepsis, it says this, that the expected future events that have already occurred. So these brothers and sisters that were on slave ships, they had a theology of prolepsis. It was during those fleeting hours that they experienced the prolepsis of daylight on the upper ships of these slave ships. Our African brothers and sisters had what was called an epiphany. An epiphany, they heard an elepsis, a prolepsis of Harriet Tubman, which she says, if I can't have liberty, then I'll take death. Either way, I'll be free. It's because of this elepsis that they experienced, this epiphany that came over them. Many of our brothers and sisters took this opportunity to throw themselves overboard. With those who stayed died of malnutrition, atrocities, and widespread sexual abuse. It has been estimated, my brothers and sisters, that 15 to 25% died during the transatlantic. Now, Condoleezza Rice, our former President George W. Bush, Secretary of State, she says these words: America has a congenital birth defect, and that is the institution of slavery. My brothers and sisters, I want you to understand today that a nation can sin. Let me say that again. A nation can sin. Well, Psalms 9 and 17, it lets us know the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. Somebody told a lie, my brothers and sisters, if the overarching truth be told. Why? The overarching question is always asked, why is it that the innocent have to suffer? Well, the inconvenient truth tells us that God has a higher purpose in our suffering. The great philosopher, Dr. Cornel West, he says, we must let suffering speak if we want to hear the truth. And Jesus prayed to his Father, sanctify the church through the truth, because God's word is truth. Somebody, my brothers and sisters, have been telling a lie one day. America is great, not because of intellectualism, military superiority, or constitutional ideology. Let me say that again. America is not great because, not just great because of intellectualism, military superiority, or constitutional ideology. America is great because of the contributions of African Americans. If you look at and examine this insurrection of 2021 versus the March on Washington in 1963, it was inconceivable. This insurrection is inconceivable, it's implausible, and it's even incomprehensible that folks wanted to overturn, watch this, the truth. While the March on Washington in 1963 was for jobs, freedoms, drawing attention to inequalities faced by African Americans, Dr. Martin Luther King said these words, that America has given African Americans a blank check, and that check has come back non-sufficient funds. My brothers and sisters, somebody has been telling a lie. And the inconvenient truth is that America has never been that great for African Americans. So when did the church hear, every time the church hears, make America great? I'm not sure, my brothers and sisters, what period in historicity are they actually talking about? Slavery wasn't good for African Americans. Jim Crow wasn't good for African Americans. Destroying Black Wall Street wasn't good for African Americans. The Tuskegee experiment wasn't good for African Americans. The murder of Emmett Till wasn't good for African Americans. The bombing of four little Black children in Alabama, watch this, going to Sunday school, definitely wasn't good for African Americans. And the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King wasn't good for African Americans. My brothers and sisters, somebody has been telling a lie. But I believe, my brothers and sisters, that the suffering of this present time ain't worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed to us. When you ever examine this text, Micah, here, we have to investigate. We have to investigate the consciousness of God and how God is navigating through the church of Israel. Two events takes place during this time of Micah. First is the Exodus experience, which we will conceive and get from Genesis. And then we get the exile experience, and we get that from the prophets. During the Exodus experience in Genesis, God shows up and announces oppression, watch this, is not the will of God. While in the wilderness, in the Exodus experience, the people of God is going to experience, watch this, rough times, but God, hear me out, people of God, is birthing a church in the wilderness, in the Exodus experience. We're doing tough times. It was tough, but God brings and he begins to shape and form the church of Israel. It is in the wilderness times that during the rough times, Isaiah 29 and 16 says, God will and God is turning everything upside down. My brothers and sisters, somebody has been telling a lie. When you look at the Exodus experience in itself, the Exodus experience shows us that God is not happy with what has been taking place, and he's not satisfied that his people are suffering. But when you look at the exile experience in the books of the prophets, it was a time that the church of Israel experienced doom and destruction because, watch this, God said, I have had enough. You must understand something, my brothers and sisters out there. God is a strange God, but it's in our mental propensity, and our mental propensity says God is a forgiving God. And believe me, my brothers and sisters, God is a forgiving God. It is in our mental propensity where God says God is a loving God. And my brothers and sisters, God is a loving God. And it is in our mental propensity that God is a compassionate God. And hear me out, God is a loving and a compassionate God. But it is a problematic that is taking place within the church. And I call this the moralistic therapeutic theology. It's problematic to me, this moralistic therapeutic theology preaching. It's a humanistic spirituality, which places more importance, my brothers and sisters, on human wellness, a more grounded and fulfilling life, rather than a divine life filled with right in the eyes of God. Let me say that again. This humanistic spirituality preaching, which places more importance on human wellness, a more grounded and fulfilling life, rather than a divine life filled with what's right in the eyes of God. Habakkuk says this, the eyes of God are too pure to even look at evil. So Mateus, this moralistic therapeutic theology, this humanistic spirituality that's preaching is nothing like people of God, historical Christianity, because its central goal is to be happy, feel good about an abnormality and our dysfunction. Somebody, my brothers and sisters, have been lying to the church. Watch this. So God is a peculiar God, and our mental propensity would tell us about God is not exactly the way we think. Let me say that again. God is a peculiar God, my brothers and sisters, and our mental propensity, the way we want to think about God, is not exactly the way we think. Yes, God is a merciful God. Yes, God is an unconditioning, loving God. Yes, God is a long-suffering God. But there will come a time, my brothers and sisters, where God gets fed up with our mess, and he says, I've had enough. It was the prophet Isaiah. And he says God's soul gets frustrated, exacerbated, and he hates the meetings that we even get to, and he's tired of holding us up, my brothers and sisters. Somebody has been telling a lie. So this Exodus experience, the Church of Israel sees deliverance, and in the exile experience, the church sees the doom and gloom of what the people of God has experienced. And in between these two experiences, my brothers and sisters, God teaches us, God molds us, God tells the Church of Israel what he requires. Micah 6 and 8 says, to do justice, love mercy, and to walk humbly before our God. And by the time we get to the books of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentation, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Malachi, by the time we get to that, we get to the inconvenient truth in the book of Michael. That is, if the church is not what God called the church to be, if your church doesn't get its act together, destruction and gloom is on the way. The prophet Isaiah warned us that in the last days, God is going to turn this whole thing upside down. 24:1. And the apostle John even warns us in the New Testament that the plagues will come one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall utterly be burned to fire. Somebody, my brothers and sisters, have been telling a lie, and Jesus called Satan the father of lies. What is the greatest lie Satan ever told the people of God? That is, we should believe in him instead of God. And believing in Satan will lead to death, hell, and the grave. Let me say that again. Believing in Satan will lead you to death, hell, and the grave. So Micah says, only God, my people, only my brothers, only God can save us. Only God can restore the church. Only God can transform the church. Only God can exalt the church. But let me just go ahead and say, Second Chronicles 7:14, if my people, preach Charlie Ramey, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. Micah 7:18 says, who is a God like God who pardons sins and forgives transgressions, who don't stay angry all the time forever, but delight in showing mercy? My brothers and sisters, just allow me to practice what I call homiletical hyperbole a little bit. I'm just going to give you a little bit of hyperbole. And in other words, I'm going to exaggerate just a little bit on this preaching. This fulfillment of Micah 7:8, what I just read, that God, my God, Holy Ghost, help me tonight, will pardon us of our sins. You will find this fulfilled in the form and in the person of Jesus Christ, who is the propitiation. God, because of him, God turned his wrath away from us for our sins. And Romans 3:24-5 says, and John 14:6 tells the church, the only way to God is through my cinnamon color savior that I call Jesus Christ. You must understand, my brothers and sisters, this world, you and I, need a savior, and his name is Jesus Christ. In the beginning, you must understand, God had a plan of what they call soteriology, to save us and to bring us in relationship to him. From the beginning, God had what's called omniscient. He had omniscience. He was oneness. He knew all things. And Solomon and John knew him by writing, only God knows all things. God was ready to create humankind at that time, but God's oneness, omniscience, kicked in, his omniscience kicked in, and God said to himself, I can't create humankind yet because they're going to mess up. And if they mess up, they're going to go straight to devil, to the death, hell, and the grave. So God had an assembly meeting for what I call the eternal righteous heavenly spirit. Let me say that again. So God called an assembly meeting during his workers conference, and he said he called it with this eternal righteous heavenly spirit. And you're probably asking me, Pastor Randy, who is the eternal righteous heavenly spirit? Well, the eternal righteous heavenly spirit that attended this general assembly meeting, the one was named Justice. Justice was at this meeting. Mercy was at this meeting. The Holy Ghost was at this meeting. And Jesus Christ showed up at this meeting. So God pushed the pause button on creating humankind. He pushed the pause button and said in Genesis 1 and 26, let us make man. He pushed the pause button. And God says, I want to create humankind, but I know they're going to mess up. Oh, God, help us tonight. So God needed a plan to save his people before God never intended us to end up in eternal death, hell, and the grave. So at this workers' conference of eternal righteous heavenly spirit, Justice stood up. And Justice stood up and said to God, let me, God, go save your people. God pierced into the eyes of Justice and says, no, you can't go yet because Justice is blind and Justice demands vengeance. And God says, vengeance is mine. I shall and will repay. God looked into the eyes of Justice and said, no, Justice, you can't go yet. Then Mercy stood up at this assembly meeting with his tender voice and said, God, let me go save your people. God said, Mercy, you can't even go yet because grace and mercy is free. Pardons there was multiplied to me. There my soul found liberty right there at Calvary. God pierced into the eyes of Mercy and said, no, you can't go yet because if you go, you'll love mercy. And we all know, my brothers and sisters, mercy endures forever. God looked and pierced into the eyes of Mercy and said, no, Mercy, you can't even go yet. Then the Holy Ghost jumped up and he got up with all his mitigating power and said, let me go, God, save your people. God told the Holy Ghost, you can't even go yet because they'll be dancing, shouting, singing, speaking in tongues, and don't know why they're dancing, shouting, speaking in tongues. God says, no, Holy Ghost, you can't even go yet. God has a plan of dispensationalism. He told the Holy Ghost, you can't even go yet. No, you can't go, Holy Ghost. Then the proverbial voice, this proverbial voice in 16 and 24 tells us it's as sweet as a honeycomb came out the side of the mountain and said to God, God, let me go save your people. Well, John the Revelator tells the church that God looked into the blazing eyes of Jesus and says, I'm going to need a Calvary experience before man can have a heavenly experience. Revelation 19 and 12. Let me say that again. John the Revelator, the book of Revelation tells us that the church, that God looked into the blazing eyes, the fiery eyes of Jesus and said, I'm going to need a Calvary experience before man can have a heavenly experience. You must understand, my brothers and sisters out there, let me let you know right now, God's passion to save humankind came before he even created humankind. Let me say that one more time. God's passion came. He came to save humankind before he even created humankind. That's why John the Revelator declared Jesus was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. 13 and 8. So the prophetic voice was says this, God wants to save us, my brothers and sisters, and not kill us. Let me say that again. The prophetic voice tonight is that God wants to save us and not kill us. Psalms 118 and 7, it tells us, you shall live. I don't know who I'm talking to out there. You shall live and not die and see the works of the Lord. Somebody, my brothers and sisters, have been telling a lie to the people of God. That's why Isaiah tells the church he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I don't know who I'm talking to out there, but God told me to tell you they've been telling a lie on you, and that's why I've got to praise God, my brothers and sisters, because I am a blood-bought child of the King. My sins are now gone. I've been redeemed by Jesus Christ. I lift up the name of the one I adore the most. I've got something, my brothers and sisters, to praise God for now. That old Satan tried to take me out and tell me to do something wrong and lift my hands and worship him. But I determined in my mind not to let the devil change, oh my God, the plans of God. Because if you got what I've got on the inside of you, oh my God, you're not ashamed to give God all the glory, honor, and praise. Yes, we've got something to praise God for. So I'm going to just leave with this right now. Here's my prophetic voice for somebody out there. I know they have been, somebody has been telling a lie, but here's my prophetic voice tonight. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered the hearts of men the things that God has prepared for them that love them. So here it is, my brothers and sisters. I'm going to tell you tonight that the latter is going to be greater than your past, and the best is yet to come. You got a reason to praise God. I know they've been lying and tell you you'll never make it. You won't be nothing. Your ministry ain't big enough. You ain't got enough clout. You don't make enough money. Your body ain't going to be healed. But I'm letting you know tonight that you're going to be healed, because he is the God that healeth thee. And you ought to give him praise. And don't believe the words that come out of the mouth that try to discourage you and put you down. Lift your eyes to the hills, which come at your help, because your help, my brothers and sisters, come from the Lord. I know. I'm out of here now, sir. Reverend Jones. I'm done. I know the road is rough. I know the going is tough. And I know the hills are sometimes so hard to climb. But, brother, sister, let me tell you, I started out a long time ago. And guess what? There is no doubt in my mind, and I'm going to end with this. I decided to make Jesus my choice. My brothers and sisters, bless you tonight. You have heard from Superintendent Charles Ramey.
Reverend Superintendent, Jones, before you, before you end, I want you to pray over us.
Yes.
I want you to say a word of prayer.
Father God, that great God of ours, God, when we think of your goodness and all that you've done for us, despite the things that we have done and been through and the challenges that we've had in our lives, we know, God, what 2023 represented. 2023 represented the year of intensity, the year of power moves and shifts. But God, according to your Hebrew calendar, the year 2024, it represents that you're going to open up doors. You're going to open up doors for us that no man can shut. And God, nobody will be able to get credit for it. God, we thank you right now, because the liar, who is Satan himself, he failed again. And we thank you, Lord. Cover us in the blood of Jesus, Lord. Everyone under the sound of my voice tonight, let them be encouraged and inspired. That this is a day on and not a day off. Somehow we have been able to make it, God, through all the hard times. And God, we're only able to make it because of you. We thank God for your leader, Dr. King. But we also thank God for Jesus Christ, the one who came and died for us, that we're able now to have a relationship with you. We thank you, Lord. We ask that you send healing over the body, healing over the mind, and healing over the soul. Do it right now. Bless our leaders, Lord. Bless Reverend Jones in her ministry. We do that, Lord. Make a way out of no way. Open up doors, just the year doors being opened. And we declare it right now. We decree it right now. Yes, Lord. In fact, I'll just say this. No weapon that forms against your people of God. It don't make a difference who wins the election. No weapon that forms against your people shall prosper. God, we know, according to your scripture, that the king's heart is in your hands. And you can turn it whatever way. So, God, I'm asking you to do what Micah 7 and 8 says. Turn things upside down. Change it in our homes. Change it in our churches. Change it in our jobs. Change it in our health, Lord, in the name of Jesus. restore. Send healing right now, God, in the name of Jesus. I send a word of healing. Heal right now. Heal the mind, God. Give them perfect peace, Lord. They're concerned about their future. They're concerned about the politics of this country. God, give them peace. Ah, that passes all understanding. Yes, Lord, we believe in you because we walk by faith and not by sight. We thank you right now for this moment, this opportunity to share a word of encouragement to the people of God. I give you glory. I give you honor. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Thank God. Amen. Reverend Jones.
Amen, amen, amen. Let me stop the recording. Amen. We thank God for Pastor Charles. Did you enjoy that word? Oh, my goodness. Oh, Lord. What a mighty word. Somebody told a lie. Now you got to go back to your records and find out who lied to you. Ha! Hallelujah. You know, one that would never lie to you is Jesus Christ. God the Father, God the Son, and God Holy Spirit, they will never lie to you, the Trinity. The Word of God from Genesis to Revelations is the truth. It's more true than the water that you just drank. You know that you just took that sip of water for those that's drinking on their tea, those that's sipping on a cup of coffee before you go to bed. Yeah, it's more truer than the breath you just took to breathe. I ask you to join us. Join us. Partner with us. Partner with Life Changers. Yes, partner with Life Changers. You can find us on Facebook, Life Changers Ministry, LCM. You can also find us on pray.com. You can visit our website, lolitajoneslive.com, LolitaJonesLive.com. Yes, yes, yes. Come on and partner with us. And we know that God is moving upon this ministry because this ministry is going throughout the world, spreading the good news. Don't you want to be a part of that? Help to spread the good news. Help to spread. At least I'm not asking you to go and purchase your passport, purchase a $5,000 ticket in order for you to travel with us over to Spain, over to Italy, over to Wales, over to London, England, over to Portugal. We're not asking you to travel with us, but you can help us in other ways, helping us by keeping us on the airways. That when we minister, we don't just have to come across the podcast, that we be able to get a station on Sirius XM, that we be able to get a station, a channel on Roku TV. I thank God even for my brother. He's one of my relatives, my cousin, Brother Steve Harris out of Hollywood, California. I praise God for him because he had the church family channel right there on Roku television. You can download it on your phone, download the Roku app. You can download it on your television. You can even go to Apple TV and find it because we were trying to present the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout this whole world 24/7 because we are on a mission to win souls for Jesus Christ. Join us on this mission. I thank God for you, 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 and you for joining Faith Talk. I am your host, Lolita Jones. And until tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., continue to enjoy the blessings of the Lord. God bless you.